The reach of former high school, former college players coaching high school basketball is hugely successful. Two former guys squaring off tomorrow night for the second straight year, UVA stars Junior Burrow and Cade Lemke. Gentlemen, alongside Dougie Fresh, I am Mark Jerome. We are so honored to have Junior Burrow and Cade Lemke joining us. Cade, Blue Ridge, Junior Burrow, Norfolk Christian, Norfolk Collegiate, apologies, going at it for the second straight year. That is tremendous, incredibly successful story. Guys, you guys have had some challenges, certainly this year. Junior, talk about the challenges you guys have had.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Right, thanks for having me. The challenges are just the rules and the pandemic part of it all. I mean, every coach in this area, and I'm pretty sure all over the country, has been having to deal with something, right? So there isn't an easy way to talk about it. You know, you're going to have kids. What we've done here at Norfolk Collegiate, we've been in school since August the 23rd. So we tried to start on time as a school, and we just kind of slowly got ourselves as we started to understand what we were really trying to do as a entire school, and the safety protocol and spacing and everything else, and just being the best situation we could possibly be in. That's kind of how it all started. And then we were giving ourselves basketball opportunities to kind of get it done. And that's when we started talking about the protocols and listening to other people that were doing a good job. And just what we were comfortable with. Now, what are you comfortable with your team and the guys that you're going to go out there? So that's kind of how it all started. And to be honest with you, I mean, the fear factor of it all, it's just been, it's easy once everybody's on the court, right? It's easy to go out there and play. It's easy to feel that, but you know, it's still in the back of your mind as you're playing, as you're being around all these other kids. Are your guys safe? Are you doing it the right way? So I understand all the kids' safety, but we've been able to, you know, just get it all together. And been great to put a product since we lost last year, right? You just want to get an opportunity to have a chance to play again against that team. And it just worked out that way, right? You know, you just want to get an opportunity to play for it all.
How many games were you able to play this year?
Before we had our break, I want to say we were 11-2. And then January, like the 15th, we started getting guys testing positive, right? So we didn't get back on the floor again as a team. Even though we could have got back around the 27th or 28th, we didn't get back on the floor until February the 1st for actual practice. And then now we practice for a week. And in that whole week, we were trying to get more games. So I want to say we've played right at 20. Oh. We've been able to get 20, right at 20 games, 17 or so like that. Because you got a couple of scrimmages and then we played Veritas, a couple of teams around here, some Division III teams, just to try to get on the court and get up and down the court, because nobody really wanted to play you once you've qualified or you've invited yourself to the playoffs. And I know that's been difficult for everybody, because you're always worried about your rankings. You're always worried about stuff that, you know, the players don't worry about. But, you know, as a coach now, and I'm learning that you can't just go out and play everybody and have an opportunity to be successful in the playoffs. You want to get a bye. You want to play home games. You want to get a chance to compete in the fairest of ways. Like, you don't want to have to go on the road and play everyone. That's really hard to do. We've done that a couple of times too, and we fell short. So I think the last couple of years we've been pretty successful in doing it. We believe the right way to get back to these games, to get to a chance to play the Blue Ridges and the Highlands and the in that regard. So that's the part we've really been good at. So,
Cade, I'm a lot more clearly familiar with what's going on and your challenges. And I know some of the schedules that you guys have had and some of the conflicts with my son playing at for you guys. You guys were scheduled to play in a few high level tournaments, national ranked tournaments, but there was some conflict. Can you explain what some of those conflicts were and why you weren't able to compete in those?
Yeah, I think, you know, compared to, you know, Junior's story, right? This is the thing, every team has a different story with how the season had to go, right? At Blue Ridge School, our administration was totally focused on in-person class, right? So they were going to figure out how to have a boarding school with kids in a bubble and have in-person class. And so, you know, so the fall, you kind of see how things are coming together with fall sports. And there was a commitment that from our administration that we were going to have a basketball season. And so it was okay, how are we going to be able to make that, you know, make that happen? And we took advantage of that, the long winter break when the students, when our students went home for Thanksgiving and then stayed home for Christmas. We played 8 games in about a 6-week, you know, 6-week stretch, 5-week stretch, where we got to play some good teams in Virginia. We went down to North Carolina and played against two perennial strong tradition rich programs there, and then played one more game right before Christmas break against Peninsula Catholic. And then we went what we thought was on a five day Christmas break before the team met up together in Myrtle Beach for the Beach Ball Classic the day after Christmas. And when we tested the team the day that we left, and one thing led to another, we ended up having 2 positive cases. And we had been testing weekly or multiple times a week leading up to that. And for whatever happened, we are not, you know, still aren't sure, right? That's this invisible disease, a virus. You don't really know, you know, exactly where things are coming from. But because we had those 2 cases, our administration felt it was not safe, even the kids that were testing that tested negative, to take them down to Myrtle Beach, not knowing exactly if they just hadn't tested positive yet or what was going on. And so we had to pull out of that tournament, which is too bad because that was an event loaded with talent. We were excited about the matchups that we had or on the other side of the bracket that we could end up playing. But then once that happened, we ended up getting put kind of back in the same model as the rest of our student body as they were coming back from winter break. And that unfortunately meant that when the students all got back, we had to quarantine, and we had to go through a bunch of stuff before we started in-person class again, and then figuring out how we could play safely and still be taking class in person. That was the tough thing. So we went from playing 8 games in about a 6-week stretch to we didn't play another game until the first weekend in February, because the last weekend in February we're supposed to play Woodbury Forest and Kiski School. And then Woodbury ended up having some positive cases on their team, which then postponed our game. And, you know, we watch this stuff, right? When we're watching college basketball and the pros, how there's these different pauses and all of a sudden the change in the schedules and everything. We just don't have the same luxury, obviously, with budgets and the number of teams that are out there to be able to play. So that got postponed. Then we were able to play a few more boarding schools that also are in bubbles. That looked like it was safe for us to play bubble to bubble, and we got ended up getting, you know, 4 more games in before the state tournament started. And then we were, I mean, you know, our mantra is to take nothing for granted. You know, we don't know. You know, we don't know if we'll have a game. I know, you know, junior, you know, you're sitting there, you know, winning the you know, winning your first game, then all of a sudden your quarterfinal game, you're thinking you're getting on a bus to travel right to Charlottesville, and then something gets switched and they're coming to you, which obviously is a great thing. But then, you know, you start to see, oh, this team just tested and they just withdrew from the tournament, or that team just tested and they're withdrew from the tournament. It's like, you know, you hope you have games. You know, that's been the big thing for us, is just trying to get games in and play games. And so now we're 14 games in. Normally we're at like 34 games in, right? So 20 less games, but every opportunity these guys have to get out there and play. I mean, that's what it's all about. So we get one more game. It happens to be the state championship game. We're excited for it.
2 years in a row, state championship versus each other. Junior, you Norfolk Collegiate is a day school, public school?
Yes, it's a private school, yes.
So how were you guys able to be so successful to play 17 games where so many other teams and schools had to shut down their seasons?
It's funny. What we have down here in the peninsula is that we have a bunch of schools, right? We have a bunch of, like, from Williamsburg on down, every private school down here, to be quite honest, and Kate, you have, they're just going to follow their own set of rules. They're going to look at the guidelines. I'll give you an example. So we were playing over at Boo in a tournament. We were at the Boo Williams Complex. And
Williams, I don't know if you guys, in Hampton.
Right. They have five, down here, we have five different mayors. All right. So you have Hampton, you have Suffolk, you have Portsmouth, you have Virginia Beach, and of course you have Suffolk. So each one of those guys has five mayors. So when you say 25 people capacity, some of the mayors, that means in Virginia Beach, players, referees, scores keepers, and everything are included. In Hampton, that means 25 fans. They don't count. So it's just a matter of where you are and who's interpreting the rule book. So that's why we were able to get some games in. So we were able to play early, like we were able to play games right away. So November, right after Thanksgiving, we were able to go bang, 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 and then stop. Practice, just like Kate is talking about. And then of course, now you can go to Virginia Beach and play because they've interpreted the rules a certain area, and then they shut them down. And then Norfolk opened up for us. And then now we were able to go play Williamsburg Christian. We were able to play Wellsingham. We were able to play a couple of other games. And then of course, we were getting ready to start playing Cape Henry. We were going to play Greenbrier Christian, our basic TCIS conference tournament. And then we got hit with one case. And then of course, we end up having 9 players test positive. And like you said, you don't even know where it's coming from. Like, there wasn't any reason to contact trace because it hit us like that. That Thursday, we canceled that game just because of the one kid. And then now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, myself, my wife, everybody just kind of all got, you know, we all got tested and we all were like, man, what happened? So that's how it affected us that way. And then of course, coming back from it, you know, no one wanted to play because everybody was trying to play their little 3 or 4 game schedule, Smithfield and all those guys. And they weren't allowed to play anyone but that 6 game conference game schedule from that point on. So we were just lucky to get Cape Henry again. We were lucky to get Peninsula Catholic, Atlantic Shores, just to get ready to give yourself an opportunity, because a 2-week window without any games, as everyone knows, that's not what you want if you're going to have an opportunity to win it. And the other part, Kate said about the 35 games, when you coach like that, because I thought that's what we were trying to do last year, you coach basically understanding your team isn't going to be peaking until around game 27, right? You know, that's what you want to be. You want to be in game shape. Everybody's moving, flying around, the best version of yourselves when you get in. I think what happened last year, even though we had a couple of injuries, we were the best team, the best version of ourselves when we got to Petersburg. And quite frankly, like, you get lucky because you get lucky with a team having a case on their campus and they have to come to us. I quite frankly want to go to Charlottesville because I want to go to Wayside, right? But, you know, it didn't really bother us on that level. But, yeah, you know, getting an opportunity to play them at home always helps, right? Making them do the 3-hour drive, I guess the 2.5-hour drive, as opposed to us. And then what happened to Holland, we played up there 3 times. So we were comfortable with our opportunity to go up there and play. You know, we won. We went in overtime we're up, I want to say 7 with a minute to go. Our best player gets hurt. So it never bothered us to be going up there to play them. Like, we felt confident, you know, the winner of our game is going to play Blue Ridge or whoever, you know, in that guard. So anyway, that's the best part about it. We're here. I just want us to get an opportunity, and we've embraced that whole part of it. And I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, no question. Highland has the kid going to Villanova next year to play point guard.
Right.
And when did you find out? You were supposed to play them last night, right? Thursday night?
Right.
And when did you find out they were unable to play?
I think, after we won Tuesday, you know, usually you get to go drive up. So we were thinking about where we were going to stay Wednesday night, or where we were going to stay Wednesday night. And they changed the rules. Obviously, both of these games would have been in Petersburg ordinarily. So for us to have to go up there, I just wanted us to kind of get into the hotel. There are a bunch of places around there in the Warrington area. We were just going to go up Wednesday night after practice and just kind of hang out, eat dinner for the first time together. And it's what's funny, what's weird about it is that so many, all of us have had it. So there's a comfortable part of you that's saying, okay, we're not going to get it in again. We're not going to get it again. And the coaches have all been vaccinated. So that kind of thing kind of threw y'all. So we're like, listen, we're going to get our team thing together. We're getting our vans, our buses, whatever. And we're going to go up there and just kind of have our only road trip, real road trip of the season. And then of course, John calls back and says, you want the bad news or the good news? And the good news is we may play Norcross, who, Kate, I don't know if you know that they tried to protest the game because they believe the kid was positive before their game, right?
Oh, okay.
Right.
I didn't know that.
So, yep. Yeah, so our AD said, you'll get them as opposed to Holland. And I've seen them play, so obviously it's a lot easier. And they're going to be coming to us again. So it's like, okay, so we get another home game if it goes the way they wanted to go. So we felt good about that. And then, of course, that all fell apart from them. They lost their case. They could have it too. All those little things. We didn't want to bring that over there. So they just kind of made that happen that night. So we found out Wednesday night about 12. I'm sorry. We found out Tuesday night about 12 o'clock at night. So.
Okay.
So we'll see. You know, it's weird because you're like, okay, we'll see you Saturday. Right. That's, you know, you Tuesday, you're trying to get everything ready. And then now you're trying to get to Saturday. So it threw us off a little bit, but this happened to be an opportunity. And now you can get a chance to have some good practices and try to get ready for whoever wins the next couple of games.
You could have gotten that matchup like two real UVA stars, right? The intro had two UVA stars but that was obviously a lot of BS. But you could have had you go play North Cross. You could have gone against Shannon Taylor, another UVA star on the football field. Then you would have had it real, you know. Then you could have played Blue Ridge. Could have a whole all sorts of
alumni. I forgot he was the coach down there.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, listen, as long as they come to us, Kate, as long as they come to us, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your path a little bit, Kate. You guys play Peninsula Catholic on Tuesday in the quarterfinals, a team that you guys struggled with right before Christmas break.
Right.
And ended up winning by like, what, 13, 15?
Right, 13, I think.
And then on Tuesday night, you blow them out by like 50.
Yeah, it was, you know, that game, and you were at the game in December, right, when we played them. That was a trap game. We've all been a part of that, right, as players, as coaches, right? Guys are going on Christmas break, right? They're leaving right from the game to go on break, right? So we've all been there, right? Was, you know, what are you thinking about? You know, for our guys, it's the first time their parents were able to come, and they were in the stands because they were taking them home after, and their minds were all over the place. It was a mess,
wow.
Right? But to Peninsula Catholic's credit, I mean, they played hard. They played with confidence. They were well coached. And I think we were fortunate to win that game just because, you know, the way where our guys' minds were. But I've always been excited about our guys. And, you know, Junior talked about peaking at the right time. I don't think we've come close to right peaking, but a different mentality hits, right? When you're in the state tournament week. And, you know, guys are engaged now all of a sudden, a big goal of winning a state championship. That's right there. And guys were dialed in and, you know, if a team's got to drive, right, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, get out of the bus, right, and play, you know, that's tough. That is, you know, extremely difficult. You know, we're sitting here, our guys had exams, you know, it's exam week. So their minds were maybe thinking about exams a little bit, but you know, they're sleeping in their own bed. They just had the right meal. They're in their own locker room. And guys were, I mean, we, after the game, and we've had some good defensive teams, some good defensive efforts over the years. We told our guys that was the best defensive effort we've ever had. I mean, they scored one basket in the whole half, the first half. Like, I mean, the guys just, I mean, our guys did not let up, and they were intense the whole time. They did a great job.
You're not intimidated by that, are you?
Well, I mean, he's saying it with such confidence. You know, you can hear it in his voice of the confidence. I mean, you only give her one basket. You know, it's easy to be okay with that.
but now we have the TCIS. I mean, it's the TCIS show. So then we had Stewart School last night, another TCIS school. You know, another.
What does that mean, Kate? TCIS.
That's our conference.
That's the conference with.
What's the acronym stand for?
Man, I used to know.
Okay, we'll leave it at TCIS.
TCIS.
Yeah, golly.
TCIS. We'll go with that.
Yeah, But Stewart, right? Their coach, former VCU women's assistant coach, and he's coached a bunch of high school, you know, seasons of different teams. And so we knew they were going to be, you know, well coached. They just had a big win against Virginia Academy a couple nights earlier, and they were well coached. You know, they threw some different defenses at us, slowed the game down. We were fortunate to have a good third quarter that kind of busted it open, but I did not feel comfortable in that game.
Regardless, three really good players on that team.
No question. Yeah. No question. Zach Rosenthal, I think Rosenthal's last name. He's going to Roanoke College. Solid. He'll be a really solid ODAC player. And then Curtis Blair, whose dad is an NBA official. Like, he's only a sophomore, and he's going to be really good. And then they had some other guys that are young on that team.
Point guard was tough, real tough.
Yeah.
How did you guys do, Junior, in your quarterfinal game?
I mean, it's Miller School, so I mean, they're just huge. I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to see them. They're huge this year, and I mean, the ball, you know, if you can, it's hard to rebound against teams like that. They had a couple of good guys, but we shot the ball really well. You know, those big guys had to move. Sometimes you game plans fall into you, tailor-made for you a little bit. You get to see some things that you don't normally see. So when people press you, you know, pressure, you, if you break it, you get stuff. If you don't break it, right, you don't get stuff, right? So, but we were able to break their pressure a little bit. And then, you know, you get wide open shots. It's hard to move big people fast consistently for a long period of time. So that's the coaching part of it. They were good, but we shot the ball. I mean, we were able to shoot our way out of all our mistakes. And that doesn't happen in the playoffs. I mean, but like I said, the luck part isn't to get them in the way they played. The luck part is to get them at home, right? Yep. To make them drive the 3.5 hours, the 2.5 right. hours, to get them to you. You know, with the new rules, you only get an hour into the gym before, so you don't get a chance to really truly get loose like you want to. I think they got there maybe at 5:15. We asked them obviously what time they wanted to play, and they said 6 o'clock was fine. So I was assuming they want to play a little later, give themselves a chance to get here and kind of open up a little bit. But I just thought we were ready to play. Like, we had a horrible third quarter against them. We had gotten out to a big lead, and then, you know, you turn the ball over a little bit, which, you know, in the playoffs, everybody you're going to play is going to make a run at you. And I think we were able to be mature because we have a bunch of young guys, considering what we had the year before. And we had one guy you could throw the ball to and kind of make something happen. And that's what we had last year. And this year we got a bunch of guys that were able to, you know, stem that tide. They were able to, and just not hold on, but, you know, we got a big lead. I mean, it was 29-7 at one point in time, right? So, and they came back. It's hard. I don't know, Coach. It's hard when you up that many and it's in those games. It's hard to hold on. And they methodically got free throws, you know. So, but it's a good feeling, like I said, to win that game and then to be ready for the – because your confidence is up now. You've already played two games. You feel good, and you're just waiting on your next opponent. And then you get lucky. I mean, that's really all it is. I mean, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, so –
I'm not sure I agree with you guys. I think you guys would have pulled it out anyway, right? Playing them. So last year, Blue Ridge pulled it out in the state championship, which was held at Roanoke College, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we were in Virginia State.
Virginia State, that's right. And I hear that place is gorgeous. Right? So I know the kids would have loved to have played there. And now the game tomorrow night is at Benedictine College?
Benedictine High School.
High school, sorry.
Right.
Benedictine High School. I'm going to get one of these right. Sooner or later. What, Junior, you're facing a team, Blue Ridge team, that's got 6'8", 6'9", Malik Brown, who just picked up an offer from Syracuse. And from what I understand, there is some communication, right, with some other high-level schools in the area, right near Blue Ridge, right? And some other schools in VCU. I think he's had an offer from there. I spoke to a VCU assistant in the summertime who absolutely loves him and says, he's probably going to be too high for us. And then they also have another big guy in Houston. Remind me his last name, Kate? Emery. Right, Houston Emery. He's 6'10", 6'9", 6'10". How do you combat that, and what's your strategy to win tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, if you if you really think about it, I mean, obviously, I'm still the tallest person on my team, right? So,
but you aren't playing.
And listen, it wouldn't help. I'm not sure if it helped at 48 anyway. I tried my best, but I don't think it helped much anyway. But when you talk about those two guys, it's funny because, you know, Malik was, I feel like he was, even though he was kind of more of an intangibles guy last year, Kay, you can always correct me wrong. Man, he started the game off against us. So I watched the game before, and it that y'all played the day before. And I just think y'all just intimidated them, and they just didn't play well, and they took a bunch of horrible shots against you guys, and of course you laid the ball up. Right, that to me is what cost him the game. The stage may have been a little bit too big for Middleburg, I think. That's what I saw, right? But against us, I mean, he just kind of, he dominated one of our better players early, right? I mean, that's what you're going to do. He's going to a college. He got a chance to play in ACC. He's one of those kids that you can talk about all you want, but every coach I know would want a kid like him. And so that's important. And I think they have a really good guy in him. And those schools will be good to get him or be happy to have him. So when you get that kind of size on a high school team, and he can move, you know, kind of opposite of what happened with middle school, to be quite honest with you, those guys were big too, but they don't move as well. So, you know, you have to look at him on both ends of the floor as far as his energy. He's always around that 50-50 ball. So it's hard to combat it. I mean, most of it's mental anyway. So can you keep him off the glass? Can you run with him? Can you attack him and get him in foul trouble? Can you try to do all those things that you want to do? And of course, you know, from the other side, can he stay out of foul trouble? Can he get all those 50-50 balls that he does every time? So he's a big deal for them. We know it. And he'll be there tomorrow. Now, if Kay wants to leave him at the hotel, I mean, I won't hold that against him at all either, right?
So, they still got another big boy. They still got Houston, and they got a couple, another big or two off the bench.
It's always going to be that way when he comes. Kate isn't the biggest guy on his team. And that's Marky, what you want.
Marky, can we pretend, and let's ask Kate, if you're facing West Charlotte and you have Junior Burrow, what do you do? Nothing?
Shoot.
Am I right, June? West Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Well, West Charlotte, Oak Hill, I mean, it's hard. Yeah,
no, West Charlotte.
Well, West Charlotte, I mean,
Cade's Oak Hill now. He's Oak Hill.
He's but turned
you're
West it up.
Charlotte, and you're right. Coming up, and let's go. Well, how do you defend Junior Burrow? 1989, 1990.
Well, I think Junior brings up a good point, right? If you can have, by you being more aggressive or somehow, right, get the whistle and, right, yep. The kid get, right, a second foul, then all of a sudden he's more tentative. He doesn't know what to do. That's always something that's big. But I think the thing that Junior and his team has this year, and they had it last year, but I think it's even more so this year, when you can stretch the floor and you have confident shooters that, you know, all of a sudden you need to pull those bigs away from the basket when you can really shoot it. And that's a different story. So it's like, okay, let's, you know, we might not be able to defend him, but how is he going to, right, defend us? And it's that classic, right, battle of, you know, which mismatch and who's going to really be the one to own, right, to own the mismatch. But that's the big thing with Norfolk Collegiate, you know, and the way they've played this year, and they're not as big as they were last year, but they have three or four weapons that when they're rolling, you know, how do you guard them? And how do you guard them if you've got 6'10", 6'9", underneath? You know, don't get me wrong, we're blessed that Malik moves like he's, you know, 6'2". But that's the big thing whenever you battle, right? Somebody that has size like that. But it's
so translation, you can't fuck with Junior Burrows. He'd kill you. So I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's right. We've played against, over when we played David McCormick a few years ago when he was right. At Oak Hill, and some, you know, Armando Baycott when he was at Trinity Episcopal before. Yep. Now he's at North Carolina doing his thing. Armando probably had 35 and 20 against us. Now we won the game, and they had a young Henry Coleman on that team and some other players, but you can't, there's just some guys you can't, right? You do your best and then you hope that you can take care of those, you know, the other positions and slow those other guys down. Because I mean, those monsters, and I would put right junior in the same, right? I mean, those guys are all pros, right? Pros to be that know how to use their size and their body. And, you try to make it as difficult as possible and then just hope that nobody else hurts you as well.
Right.
I mean, I'll interject, June, for you. In high school, at the Memphis Invitational Tournament, we beat Anthony Hardaway. We came out after the game, like we stopped him, we got him, whatever. He had 37, 38.
Yeah.
You know, we killed it, but we won the game. So that's a good point.
Okay. Listen, a couple of years ago,
the win matters.
When Mark Williams was at Norfolk Academy, and you know, he's at Duke now. So we're winning the game. And they don't have a lot around him, right? So after the game was over, we're sitting in the locker room, everybody celebrating. And that's when Jamal Robinson was our assistant coach. And we didn't want to see the stat sheet, Kate. Like, nobody wanted to see it because you could feel
the
13 to 14 blocks. You could see the 20 rebounds. But, I mean, he just basically did everything for him. So he had 37, 24, and 14. And we still won by 13 points. Like, it wasn't – he just didn't have a lot around him. But you could see his effect on the game. And, of course, he was at the top of a 3-2. It was weird. And then he was at the bottom. Like, he's just such a great athlete. And it was just one of those games where, listen, we just have enough. But, yeah, when you have good guard play, I mean, that's the key to it.
He messed around and got a triple-double.
Had a triple-double. It's funny. He had a chance to get an assist. We sent three people to him. And it's funny. We always talk about winning in advance, right? When I watched the NC State thing, we guarded him like the NC State guarded Ralph, right? Going back to our UVA, they put three people around him. It still didn't help. And so we stopped trying to guard him like that because he made a couple of people better. So, no, you just score as many twos as you can. You just score as many twos as you can. We'll be as physical and try to keep you away from the basket. And he ran out of gas a little bit towards the end, needed to sub out, and that's where you're able to get it. So, yeah.
What is the preparation tonight for the game tomorrow? Junior, you guys are right near Benedictine High School, correct?
No, I mean, we're about 90 minutes away. I mean, we're probably somewhere in that 90-minute window. So, and like
June,
I said,
with so the you, new got, moves, you guys are in the Four Seasons in Norfolk?
No, we decided to stay home tonight. We're going to get everybody on the bus. I mean, you know, we'll stay away from those kind of things this time. But next year. You know, maybe next year we'll try to Four Seasons and you know. But, and yeah,
Kate, you guys checked into a hotel just a couple of minutes ago.
We did. Part of it was out of routine to try to focus and get the guys together. But to be honest with you, because, right, we're in this bubble and spring break started today after the boys took their last exam and – our lacrosse team is staying over spring break and they needed to take over two halls in the dorms that where they're going to be for really the rest of the school year. And one of the halls is where we had been for the last week and a half. And so they needed us actually out of the dorms so that they could properly disinfect all the dorms so that lacrosse could move from their old rooms into those rooms tomorrow. And so it worked out well that they needed us out anyway. We were looking for, you know, an opportunity to kind of get into a routine, you know, before a big game. And so, yeah, so we're in a hotel and then we're also about an hour and a half away, I guess, from Benedictine. So it's equidistant between the two of us. But we'll, you know, typically we normally try to get there early and get our get our legs under us. But they're saying, Junior made the comment earlier, you know, you can't get there until an hour before the game. So that's going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit different, you know, but it's at the end of the day, once you can get out on the court and play, that's what it's about. Right. So we're excited to have that opportunity.
I think Kate, I saw your kid in the background before.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
They're excited to be able to be in a hotel. A little bum that there's no, that swimming pool is closed. that's how it goes.
But that's very familiar to Dougie because whenever we're on a podcast or the pregame show,
right,
or the halftime show, or the
pregame
show, yep, Dougie's kids are jumping up and down on the bed in the background.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I love it. I love how charming that is and captivating it is. Just like it's Dougie, I'm a wonderful dad, right?
Oh, that's the best. And by the way, I'll in June, sorry, this is not the point, but I'll never forget, we used to go to Clemson and play. And June and Corey and all those guys younger than me, 2 years younger. And dude, Corey loved the pool, June.
Oh.
Remember in Clemson, we had the indoor pool, and Corey was in the pool. I don't know if he can even swim. You can or not. AO can't.
Yes.
But Corey was like just doing laps and the whole thing. And it was like we were at a spa.
We were playing a bad Clemson team too. So that also helps.
No, they were good.
Corey probably could have been an Olympic swimmer. I'm sure he told
no question. Oh yeah, for sure. Come on, Kate. Don't forget that part.
Corey could have been an Olympic fencer.
Anything.
Forget about swimming.
Yeah. Is that what Corey would say? Is that what you believe?
No, I believe it. Seriously. He would say it.
He's for sure
going to say it. Whatever Corey wanted to do, he could do it. No doubt. No doubt.
We all had Rob Bertella's class, which, by the way, is probably the most fun class at the university that I actually went to on a consistent basis. And to be in his little discussion class, you know, he asks, you know, questions, and man, Corey's overall confidence is laughable, but, and you know, people in the class don't believe it. But if you don't have it, it starts with the delusion of belief, right?
It's so a Dungan-Kruger. What's the thing? It's a disease. Corey has that thing that, in a good way.
Well, that's great that I forgot. So Rotella was teaching on the teaching faculty when you guys were there, right? He was just knew about him, but he was no longer teaching on grounds, which that would have been awesome to take one of his.
Yes.
No, we all, so my, in my time before June, which back then 2 years is 20 years, right? We thought it was a gut. And I'm like, I have no idea what this motherfucker's talking about. He's like, trust and believe. He throws a pair of keys and we catch it. He's like, you're good. I'm like, that doesn't mean I'm making free throws, dude.
Right.
Anyhow, my bad.
Junior, where are your kids? Where are the kids from your school go on to college?
I mean, most of it's been since I've been here. I mean, we had a couple of kids go to some D2 schools. We have one of my kids now, the kid Jordan Battle, is now getting offers from Western and Eastern Kentucky. But he's had to go to Hargrave for a year. So we haven't had anyone leave us since I've been here to go straight to a Division I school athletically. But we've had multiple kids go to the Browns and the Dartmouths and the Cornell. And we celebrate all of that stuff as well, right? So it's just as important. But We're still, that's the part about trying to climb up and get it that level where you can start getting guys that are appreciated on the athletic side of it. I thought we had a couple of Division I players last year, and once Tristan Howell got into Virginia academically, Kate and stuff like that, he turned down everything D1 as far as some of the smaller ones, the ECUs and Georgia State actually came, and JMU and those schools started coming in after him just from that tournament. And he was like, coach, you know, I'm gonna write him an email, and I got into the school I want to get into. So he's walking around campus, he wants to walk on to the school, but this year made it a little more difficult. But yeah,
that's incredible, the power of a college having that much pull and attraction to take on to where a kid's going to accept a role and admittance to go to University of Virginia versus looking, advancing his career in a sport that he's probably been playing since he was, you know, who knows, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty amazing. What were you going to say, Cade?
Well, just, I mean, Jordan Battle, he was a Division I player last year. There's no question, and we could have a whole, you know, session on, you know, why or what was going on or conspiracy theories on why he was not, you know, given multiple Division I scholarship offers last year. But I'm really happy for him, right? To see those schools start to pop, and they played a game before us. When we played Hargrave's high school team back in December, the PG team played before us, and we got there pretty early, and I got to watch him play. And I just remember, I mean, Awesome. Awesome kid. Awesome player. And obviously the way that he grew under under Junior and his staff there at Norfolk Collegiate, like he has a chance to, he's not only a Division One player, but to have a really, really good Division One career. And so I'm happy to see that, you know, some of those schools are starting to pop. But he was gifted. I'm glad he's not suiting up tomorrow.
and the funny part about it all, he turns 18 in a week.
Wow.
And right, so he was always young, and so I'm just happy for him. His dad and all of those guys are just like, he's that guy. So he's working, and I know Georgetown is interested now. So everything is starting to happen for him now at this point. And you know, I don't care how he gets to the end of it. I can't wait now. And we laughed about it a week ago, like just this time last year. You were confused, you were upset. You know, obviously most kids are, a chip on the shoulder. Now you got a choice in about 5 or 6 schools. So, you know, nobody can write your story. You got to write your own.
And that's the kid that transferred to Hargrave, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, he graduated from us, and he's on the post-grad team up there at Hargrave, yeah.
And Kate, last year you had a JUCO kid in William Lee.
Correct.
And Sasha.
Sasha, who's at App State now.
Yep.
And then another role player that's at D2 Hawaii Hilo, Jackson Colhane. You remember Jackson, shooter from Texas.
He's area. In Hawaii. He took a Hawaii off. He
wants to go into marine biology. So what?
That's just knowing. That's just knowing what you're doing. Yeah.
I don't understand why you and I have not had conversations about my kid going to a school in Hawaii.
Right.
Marky. Man. By the way, I got recruited by Hawaii. They had one stipulation. If you visit, you have to commit.
Oh, gosh.
Right? June, I was not a big time recruit, as you know.
Hey, listen.
I was not Junior Burrow.
Our assistant coach from Oak Hill took the job at Hawaii Pacific the year before we got there to Oak Hill. So right. Coach Smith was going to allow us to use our last visit to go out there. And, but, you know, he just decided not to, but because, you know, nobody's going to Hawaii Pacific, but it would have helped him in recruiting. Listen, we can get these guys to come out there, and then you get all the real information. Like, so we got to do what? We got to fly to where? And then there, and then now? Because the country LA, boy from Charlotte didn't realize there's a 13, 12-hour flight to Hawaii. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought it was just right off the coast of California, maybe.
It's worth it when you make it there.
Of course it is. I've been there a few times. Yeah, yes. We're trying to go now at some point, but with the whole kid crew. But you know,
well, hopefully we're going to be able to get both you guys next year in the locker room access first annual basketball tournament in Charlottesville. Kate, let's talk about one of your best players you probably have ever had, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. Let's talk about Mamadi Diakite really quickly.
Huh.
Right, and his contribution to Blue Ridge and what he's doing now. Because when you first got him from Mali, how was he?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about, right, he'd only been playing basketball for 2 years, right? Didn't know, had good footwork from his soccer background, but didn't understand how to use it, right? Didn't know what a travel was. Didn't even know, like, what, you know, calls that refs were making. You know, he knew how to block shots, only because that's the easiest thing to kind of, you know, teach, but you wouldn't understand what a goaltend was compared to a block shot. So you think about that, you know, to what's happening, you know, right now, right? And it's a long, long process, right? That, you know, coaches at Blue Ridge, coaches at Virginia, coaches, you know, everywhere in between on the AAU side and the training side. It's just because that's, everyone knows, you know, that when everything came together or comes together, you can't teach the things that he can, right? He can do, right? That,
for sure.
That length, how quickly he jumps, his just joy when he's playing and doing things. But, you know, you go through the systems, right? And obviously had to be very patient, you know, at UVA, and, you know, slowly that all, right, came together. And I think, if we would have had a, you know, a ACC tournament and an NCAA tournament last year, you know, who knows, right? How much more he would have shown. But, you know, I tell you what, going through the draft process and going undrafted, but then getting, you know, having the Bucks send him down to play with the Lakeland Magic in this bubble down in Florida. I mean, I'm obviously biased, but I don't know if there's a player that has played better and has made more of a name for himself than what Mamadi has done down there, right? In these, whatever they've played now, 12 games, 13 games now that they've played. It's really neat, right? To see what's happening right now.
He has a great personality. That's the part you like the most. He plays with such a infectious personality. And I had a chance to be with him all last year at the Nike, the Mamba Academy last year, where he was like unbelievably outstanding individually as a defender on some of the best. I mean, Devin Booker, DeMar DeRozan, like it gave me an appreciation because I was his coach. It gave me an appreciation. And it's really weird because that's where they started to talk about Obi Toppin, right? That's where it all started the year before, Mark. And what's funny to me is that you can't tell me that Sadiq Bey, Obi Toppin, and Mamadi weren't at the same level as far as what I saw them on my team and what they were able to look like. So I know it's going to happen for him. It's just a matter of, obviously, like I said earlier, about the story being different for him. But once he gets an opportunity to go out there and play, they'll understand what they've gotten a chance to get. And he's on his way to being something different. You know, yep. It takes a second. It seems to take a second for him to show his true value for whatever reason, right? But it's in there.
Right. And you see this year what's going on with Virginia, and that's probably the biggest piece that they're missing, right, to add to their success is having a Mamadi back there, being the anchor of the defense.
Yep.
Able to just control the backboard, right, and be the rim protector, and if guys get beat to the basket, and also how he defends the pick and roll, right, and that's one of the biggest voices this team is missing this year.
If you look at them now, right, and if you had to point to something, you know, like I said, this is the intangible part of it. Not even, it's weird because if you remember him, and I know all of us do, sometimes he will stop you from even driving. Just the fact of his mere presence coming over, to be where he's supposed to be responsibility wise, you will stop people from driving. And, you know, obviously they're missing that now.
Stop people from driving, stop people from wanting to see the ball screen, because they know right. He's about to hedge that ball screen and they're going to be turned the other way. There's a, yeah.
And he's Tony Bennett has been very successful at a couple of things. His ability to find like the same kind of guy, Darian Atkins to me was kind of his first. I mean, Mike Scott obviously came from the other, the first coach, but Darian Atkins,
no, Akil
Mitchell.
Akil first.
I intentionally didn't say his name because he's not the defender he's not the defender that those guys were. Like Gil, then we go to Wilkins. I think that the Mamadi is the best version of all three of them, right? It's for me. He wasn't, you know, his overall game.
In June, we trust.
Right. Just his overall game just came out to me. But defensively, like when they were starting to win those 30 games, when that 30 game run started to happen, that 29 to 27 game thing started running for him, to me, it started with just being able to stop guards from turning that corner. Because every team starts with a pick and roll. It's the weirdest thing as a coach now, you know, you start to notice things, obviously, but. Like if your pick and roll initiates your offense against Virginia with one of those guys at the top coming up with their big guy to set a screen, you might as well change your offense. And he changed the offense.
Right.
I mean, and then now to be able to have the efficiency with your son playing.
Right. My hands up. I have two things.
Dougie, I just want to commend you because I know how excited you get to be on the shows and how you really want to, you can't still keep it in. You've done so well tonight.
Thank you. I was quiet early. Now I'm getting loud.
You don't get rewarded with the ability to use a curse, by the way.
I'm not going to curse.
Okay.
I'm going to say I'm so proud of Junior Burrow. Hey, this is it's like we're playing horse, right? Two-part shot. Pump fake, you know, double pump off the glass. I'm so effing proud of Junior Burrow. And how he's talking about basketball, because when I knew him when he was 18, 17 years old, whatever he was, he had no clue. But he was absurdly athletic, an absurd player. My second question, let's go on beyond that. Coach Cade, Kobe Bryant, Kobe Jerome. I'm kidding. Can we talk about him a little bit? Because Marky will never bring it up. I know. He never talks about his kids, but, you know, give us, like, some about him. I've watched him. I met him when he was, like, 12 or 13 years old. And he's grown. He's done well. And he's got a big-time offer, the whole thing. So run him down, if you don't mind.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing with Kobe right now is you've got a mature player that knows what he's good at and knows what he's not good at, right? And this is something that usually doesn't happen until someone's in college or a pro, right? Where they know what their deficiencies are,
right?
And instead of, you know, saying that they aren't really their deficiencies or saying that, you know, no, I'm better than that. I can really do this. Like, when a player knows what he's good at, knows what he's not good at, and puts himself in positions to succeed, and then puts the team in positions to succeed because of that, you don't get that from many high school, right? High school kids, right? That's a testament to, right, him growing up in a basketball house, you know, parents have both played the game, brother that played the game, but he knows what's going on. His ability to play with the ball in his hands or not in his hands, you know, we have a really gifted backcourt, but it's no secret, and I'm sure Junior knows that one of our guards he hasn't played right since, you know, late or mid December, and he won't be playing tomorrow. He's signed with George Mason.
Mike killed us last year, by the way.
Yeah, really, really good, really good.
Tough.
But with him, I was not concerned with when he got hurt. You know, it was next man up. I knew that Kobe was just waiting for that opportunity to have the ball in his hands more and to be able to facilitate in a different way. And he has, I mean, he's lived up to that and more. You know, he's now guarded point guards and had to keep them out of the lane. And then, you know, he's been shooting the ball extremely well and, you know, leading the break and doing it. He does all the things that a coach, right? Coach wants, you know, out of that lead guard, right? He understands the offense. He knows what other guys are good at. He's going to try to get them the ball where they need it to be successful. You know, he's going to play smart enough defense, right, to make up for the fact that he's not the quickest, right? Not the quickest dude. And so he's going to just try to, right, be more intelligent, right? And make it difficult for that guy to be successful, whoever he's guarding. And for a high school senior to play that way and to understand that, you don't get that.
Yeah.
Right. So he's been a joy.
Is he more cerebral than Ty? Ty has instincts and very cerebral. I see Kobe, and I've watched him, Marky. I'm not bullshitting here. I see Kobe. He seems a little bit more cerebral, maybe thinks the game more, less instinctive. Or am I out of place here?
I mean, he might have to. I mean, that's
might have to. Yeah,
he might have to. That's part of the. That's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the older brother. He's not as tall as his brother. He's right. He's probably had to figure out how to fit in playing right with or against his brother for so many years that he's thinking the game more. I think, but there's a double-edged sword to that, right? Because when you overthink things, right. Kobe is sometimes his worst enemy, right? When he thinks, you know, too much, right? And he gets discouraged, right? Discouraged too quick. You know, what we all know as players, when you put in time, whether it's on your shot or your handle or whatever it is, or watching film, you know, you can now play with that confidence because you know you've put in the work, right? You know you've put in the work that you will be right successful in what you're doing. And I think, you know, Kobe has been able to, because he puts in the work, you know, he can go out there and should go out there, right? Being confident that he's going to hit that 25 footer, or he's going to make that floater in the lane, or he's going to make the right read when he comes off the ball screen, you know, whatever it might be. I'm still, you know, we still joke with him, you know, wanting to see when he's going to dive on the floor for a loose ball, or if he's going to take a charge here before his Blue Ridge career is over. He's got one game left, but,
I'm gonna tell you something about charges.
I if never he's anything like his brother, it's not happening, Kate.
Yeah, it's overrated. That charge is overrated, Coach.
June. It, look, if you knock me over, charge. I'm good. I'm not flopping.
Once you're on that dunker's line, once you as a big guy on that dunker's line, that charge is overrated.
That's different.
That charge is overrated, baby. I don't talk about it. So we got some kids that like to take them a little bit, but man, we'll take a good solid wall up over everything.
I think it was Kobe. I think it was Kobe Bryant that said he didn't like to take charges, right?
No, it's too many things can go wrong for what the success is of getting a referee to actually make a good call.
Right.
I'd rather you wall up and just hope that they'll call it from that angle. But that's falling down stuff.
No. Oh, man. Dude, our team, we didn't take charges. We weren't like that. Like falling back, flying around.
Yeah, no.
We played up big, good D. And then, you know, if you knock me down, it's a charge. We're good.
I think as a player, I mean, what it does, if your team takes a lot of charges, you can slow down the aggressiveness of an offensive team, because that's just kind of what the refs get involved in, especially now. But at the end of the day, obviously back when we played, you know, many years ago, I mean, it just wasn't something you wanted to do, because you don't want to give a guy a free shot because they didn't call a lot of that. So right. If you wall up and you make somebody score in front of you, you know, their percentages are going to go down. That's just factual. So we try to stay on that guard right now. You know, I'd rather my kids stay up and not try to overthink.
Let's be real also. The more talented you are, the less you worry about taking charges. Right.
Oh, so, man, listen,
so no one's ever telling you to take a charge in order to separate himself.
Oh, man. We had a charge drill, Kate. We had a charge drill.
Can you imagine Junior Burrow taking a charge?
Man, we had a charge drill, man. Oh, Junior, my God. We had that charge drill. I hated that drill down there with Ted and those guys. I hated that drill, because all you're going to do is get dunked on and you're supposed to fall. Like, it's nobody's doing that. It's more depressing than anything on that other end, watching Chris Alexander or Ted or Yuri or one of those guys dunk over top of you.
Right.
And you don't fall right.
And you're on the floor, right?
Like, right, and you're on the floor.
You're not even like flopping backwards. You're just like on the side.
No.
All right. Can people see the game tomorrow night, 5:00 at Benedictine High School? Will it be streamed?
It is. Yep. It will be streamed on Benedictine's site. We've actually taken our domain, baronathleticslive.com, and that gets forwarded right to the Benedictine site. So if it's easier for people to know, baronathleticslive. But I don't think there's gonna be any commentary or anything like that. It'll just be like gym noise. That'll be great. I mean, that's how it's been, right? We haven't played with fans since December. We haven't had fans going. So, we're used to that now. I think that's a big thing is your bench and how well your bench can kind of get, emotional and get the team going. That's never been more important than it is, this year. And we've been blessed to have some guys embrace that and just, be enthused. I mean, we had our 62nd practice of the year today. 62 practices. Like, I mean, we normally are at like 43, 44 practices for the year. So 19 or 20 more practices this year. It's been, as a coach, it's really, I mean, you've had to try to be creative, innovative, right? Make it fun, like somehow try to get the same points across without doing the same drill, day after day.
Yeah.
But today was the easiest day, right, to have a good practice because the guys, the guys know it's their last one, right? And the seniors know it's the last practice I'll have in this practice uniform. But it's been challenging, to figure out how to keep the guys, keep them engaged with everything going on, for sure.
Well, congratulations to both you guys for getting through a very challenging season. And once again, meeting in the championship, quite an accomplishment 2 years in a row and getting through this crazy year. Right. Kate, I'm going to miss the announcers from Blue Ridge. They are rising stars. And one of my favorite things they do is when the guy that comes on and mops the floor, what's his name? Ali.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Ali Tejani.
Dougie, you got to see this guy come on the court. He sprints like he's running the 100-yard dash to mop the floor. And the announcers go crazy. It is the greatest thing. But it's more than just like being entertainment. It's like he's really part of the program and everybody respects and everybody's grateful. It's so beautiful to watch. It's really warm. And he's the sweetest kid. So please tell him I said hello, Cade, and I'm gonna miss watching the announcer, listening to those guys announce the game, because they're great. So again, good luck to both you guys. 5 o'clock tomorrow. One more time, Cade, Barron Sports.
Barron Athletics Live.
Barron Athletics Live. I should know that, right?
I should know that. Thank you guys for having me.
Best of luck to both you guys tomorrow. And guess what, Virginia fans? Virginia fans, you cannot lose tomorrow.
You can't lose.
Can't lose.
Oh, is a glove June? Is a glove on the bench or no?
The glove. Listen, so quick, they wouldn't let us have a JVK. They wouldn't let us do any of that. So we had to take a developmental team of guys. Okay. So we took 16 guys. So he was going to play JV as an eighth grader. And what ended up happening, as we got longer and longer, those developmental teams / JV teams went away. So he's found some minutes in the games that have gotten out of control, but I've thrown him out there. I've thrown him out there in some of the games just to see where he is, right? Sure. So he has that cerebral thing, and he kind of gets it, right? He's really good in soccer as a goalie. So he kind of is, the moment's not too big for him. The difference is that his dad is verbally more abusive in as a basketball coach, feeling like every referee is cheating him, right? Than he is in life. Like, I'm just not that guy. And it's really weird because I never played like that. But the fact that I can sit over there and I have all the rules in my head, that I feel like every referee is against us and everything we stand for, right? So that's the funny part about it all. So
I have two questions for that. Even though we were about to say goodbye, one, is he a basketball player too? Is he going to play?
He's 6'4.5". So he's an eighth grader. He has a chance. He can play, yes.
So he and Jay Willie's son.
Yes, him and Austin play all the time, yes.
Those two kids are we should be
able to. And Cornell Parkerson. And Cornell Parkerson is also an eighth grader who's tall and really good. And Chad Jeffrey's son is growing. He's down here with us. Him and Justin will be on the same AAU team starting Monday.
What team are they?
Practice. They're going to be on an Adidas team right now, which kind of throws a monkey wrench in everything we do here Nike-wide. But that's the team they're with.
Which team is it?
It's a Team Loaded team out of this area, out of Virginia Beach.
Okay.
And they're eighth grade team out of there. And of course, Austin plays on the takeover team out of DC.
Exactly.
So, good. They're good. Exactly. And then of course, Ted Jeffrey's son is on his way to that. Gavin is on that way. So they're always together at Coach Bennett's camp every summer. So that was one of the parts about being in the pandemic. Yeah, you would hope. Right? Yeah, so, I don't think Austin has a chance. I don't think Austin has a choice, right?
Yeah. So, he is talented. We showed film of him like doing a windmill, which was ridiculous, right? At Damon.
Yes. From two non-athletic parents, I might add. Isn't that weird? Like, come on, Jay.
I'm going to bring that up on the Jay Willie show on Tuesday. Hey, so listen, make sure.
Bring that up, man. He started dunking as an 11th grader in high school.
So, last question for you, June. When you're rewatching games and after you verbally abuse the ref during the game,
right? You can hear it all now.
What's that?
You can hear it all now with no fans or anything. Like,
right.
You
know, but when you're rewatching the game, right? When you're watching the video, do you think that you're always right still? You think the refs are still bad? Or do you think sometimes you have it wrong?
No, I've never thought I was wrong. Not as a coach, no. There's no way.
Even when you're rewatching the game, even when you're saying, oh, man, maybe the ref is actually right there.
Well, I mean, so to be totally serious with you, like if they start calling a bunch of TikTok, ticky-tack fouls both ways, and I'm arguing those things. When I start seeing those things, like, why would you give us that? Why would you give them that kind of stuff? It always changes the pace of the game because, I mean, we play at a certain pace. We want to get the score up. We want to move up and down the court. So I don't like watching those kind of games, the paint dry games, of course. But, I mean, our league, we have it all. So when we play Wells and him, they're going to hold the ball at the top of the key. I mean, he's literally going to hold the ball at the circle. So, like, those kind of things I always feel like I'm right about when the referees try to bail people out. So yeah. Yes.
All right. Once again, guys, best of luck.
Some things never change. Junior Burrow and Corey Alexander know everything.
You try to know everything. Good try. You try to know all the rules.
Always did.
All right. For Cade Lemke, Junior Burrow, Dougie Fresh, I'm Mark Jerome. Thanks everybody for joining us. Take care.
Thank you guys.
Thanks guys.
Thanks, Cade.